I start?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to do attendance. We have Councilperson Phil Sacco.
Here.
Councilperson Daphne Jones.
Here.
Councilperson Dave Colek.
Here.
And Councilperson Dan Fusco.
Here.
Supervisor Gregory Sacco.
Here. All right, call for last meeting's minutes. I need a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the August 8th meeting. From the meeting in August. Sorry. It wasn't on the 8th.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
I have an issue. Last month, Clerk Day expressed her opinion on a misunderstanding we had. And it's in the minutes. And I don't think it's appropriate. The reason is, I found out after the meeting, I was getting calls like, what was that about? And then I heard that there was a handout for this. And that people had pretty much.
Oh, because it was my report.
Your report, yeah. So I was advised, legal advice, that when somebody is directly implicated by name and things within it are said that aren't true, that it's defamation. And there's something that caught me that really made me uncomfortable, and that was the last paragraph that, however, does not need to be held during a board meeting to impress an audience. That's an observation that when I say things in the board meeting that I'm attempting to impress an audience, I heard that before by another council member, that I showboat or I self-promote. I try to be very well prepared for my meetings. I'd be more comfortable and to avoid this going to a folder of defamation that I already have, that it is not in the minutes, to avoid any possible legal obligation on the part of the town. I'm being very honest with that, but I have to protect myself. I feel this might have been more than one person involved because of that statement to impress an audience.
No, that was me.
That's the least thing I would ever try to do in this elected position. So I would like to see this stricken from the minutes.
That line? Where is that line?
Well, the report implicates me by name. To avoid legal obligation for the town, right in the first paragraph, that should be removed.
Okay, hold on. Let me look here.
Okay. It says in preparation of the July minutes.
Yes. Yep.
Remove my name, because you don't want to implicate an individual. I would also like to see the third paragraph where it mentions it implicates the Whitestown girls softball team. In no way in what I said did I find fault with anybody, other than to say that it was an incident that happened within our house, and as a board, we should take responsibility for it. I don't think any fingers should be pointed at anyone. So I would like to see Westboro girls softball game not be implicated. And this accusation that I use my elected position to impress people, I would like to see that removed, because that's offensive and furthest thing from the truth. So I would respect and appreciate the respect in that regard. And then I will approve the minutes as they stand. But if this remains, I do not approve the minutes.
Where is it? Where was the third part there?
The third paragraph where it implicates the Westboro girls softball.
Yep.
We don't need to implicate them in anything. The very last paragraph where I say stuff to impress an audience.
I see, okay.
Yeah, that's
right in the middle.
It's just not enough. Kieran, I respect and appreciate your candor, but let's not let any defamation liabilities mount for the town. Please. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, do we open that up to the board for discussion?
We're assuming all four so far out of three. If you want to take that out, then his vote would either be no, or if you take that out, I don't know what that vote is.
If you can take it out, fine. I can simply abstain.
How does the board feel about taking that out?
I say we do.
You leave it in. You understand the liability, right?
You're going to sue the town board.
I had legal
board member. And you stoked the fire to begin with. She just responded to your accusation.
Therein lies the problem. It'll be further discussed about why I said what I said in my report. So I advise the board they do not leave that in. It's a very simple modification. Leaving it in speaks volumes, unfortunately, something I don't want to see in our town board, and I don't think anybody else does.
I don't have a problem with scratching the last paragraph, and if you want to scratch Whitesboro Girls, but I think the council person Fusco at the top was just her explaining, you know, where the feedback came from.
But it directly implicates somebody by name. That's where, you know, you can say anything to me, but when you directly implicate somebody by name, maybe Mr. Schmidt can comment on this. That becomes a defamation issue.
Bill, where do you stand here?
I don't think it becomes a defamation issue, but I do think the board has full authority to strike or amend or basically allow what will be or will not be part of its minutes. So you're within your power if you want to strike portions of this.
I mean, we did approve the July meeting minutes that she is referring to complaining about. And the paragraph that's in the minutes already pre-approved says the recent child assault incident at our town park needs to be taken very seriously. At the June meeting, I made a comment on the hiring of staff working at the town park. I expressed that the board should have an opportunity to have input into hiring. When I brought this up, I was met with opposition and told, this is how we have always done it and we are not changing. The next day, a young child was assaulted on town property. I think that's what she's saying, is that you talked about one...
Can you read the next sentence where I say...
The next day, a young... I'm not implying that any individual recently hired had anything to do with the incident, but we must look very closely at all personnel working with youth in our town. And the rest of this, Karen talks about the hiring and the background checks and the stuff that they do. So she's directly talking and referring about that, and that was approved in the minutes. And she didn't ask for that to get stricken.
She could have, but do you know...
I'm just saying that there's a state grant already approved.
There's a state grant to do exactly what I, as a board member, was suggesting we do, and I will provide you with that information during my report. That's all I have to say on it. I mean, do what you want, but it's a personal assault. It's a defamation of character, and it's in my file. I mean, What else can I say?
Dave, how do you feel?
As far as like taking place during the evening of Whitestown Girls softball game, take it out. And also too, as far as the last paragraph he's talking about, I should just scratch it. And as far as council person, it was directed to dance. I don't know, you know. Leave the Fusco part in there. It's directed to you, Dan. I just don't know where else to go with that.
So I guess I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes contingent on the council person Fusco staying in the minutes, the Whitesboro Girls softball game being removed, and the last paragraph line.
Can I speak one more time?
Sure.
The reason the Whitesboro Girls softball was mentioned was because that unfortunate incident happened during that, not during the youth program, and I think that's what was...
Oh, I see.
I think that was what was trying to be said in Karen's rebuttal of Mr. Fusco's remarks. And it's really important. That didn't... It's terrible what happened, but it didn't happen during our summer youth program. It happened during a softball game, which totally is different from the youth program. Even though what happens awful, it's still totally different. I say leave it the way it is.
I'm going to make a motion. We leave the first two sections and remove the last line, the one about the impressing the audience. So I'll make a motion. We approve the meeting minutes from last month, contingent on those three, or that one change, rather.
A motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried.
That was to amend the minutes, I'm opposed. Okay. Not what was in it.
All right, there's no early privilege of the floor, so I'm going to go into correspondence and communication. I have a few things to talk about, just bear with me here. First and foremost, I received a call from Deerfield Fire Chief Jim Griffith, and he wanted to speak about the closing of the Poland Fire Department. And in his, he sent me an email with information I want to pass along. So in this email it says, I am emailing from Jim Griffith. I am emailing to let you know that the northern portion of the town of Deerfield that falls within the Poland Joint Fire District, previously covered by Poland Fire Company, is currently being covered. We, as in Deerfield Fire Department, have been contracted by the Poland Joint Fire District to assist in covering parts of their district, a portion of that being the town of Deerfield. Newport Fire Department, Barneveld Fire Department, and Remsen Fire Department are also assisting. For the town of Deerfield, Barneveld Fire Department and Newport Fire Department are covering North Gage Road from the Trenton Town Line to 11489 North Gage Road. This will include both sides of the road. And they will also cover all of Cameron Hill Road, Blue Road, Grant Road, State Route 828, address 7600 to the Herkimer County line, Maple Leaf Lane, Riverview Lane, and Christmas Tree Lane. Deerfield Fire Department and Newport Fire Department are covering State Route 8 from Deerfield Fire Department line to 7599 State Route 8 and all the following roads: Brayton Road, Harris Road, Schrider Road, Steuben Road, Cruikshank Road, Egypt Road, Crooked Brook Road, Steuben Road West, North Gage Road from 11495 to the intersection of State Route 8 and McIntyre Road. The residents of the town of Deerfield have fire department coverage in place. EMS is still handled by Cuyahoga Volunteer Ambulance Corps, as it's been all along. Poland Fire Department doesn't run their own EMS calls.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Well, hi, I'm Kelly Wenzel. I'm sure you've heard me in the company. I'm the secretary for the Poland Fire Company. I'm also a commissioner on the district. There is no contract in place. You stated that. Whoever told you that, that is a lie. There are no contracts in place with any fire company.
Okay.
None. There are zero. So this agreement, which I have a copy of if anybody would like to see it, so they can review for themselves, is that. It's an agreement. So a fire company can opt not to show up. And I just want all of you to know who live in the fire district, in the town of Deerfield, in the Poland Fire District, you are at very high risk. Because Deerfield, as anyone who lives in Deerfield knows, they receive a lot of calls. And if they're on a call and your house is on fire, they're not going to show up. And if you're waiting for Newport, now your response time has just gone up 20 minutes from what would have been maybe 10 minutes. This is serious, guys. This is serious. People are going to die. And maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. But is it really worth taking the chance? So everyone in this room who's in that district, you do not have guaranteed fire coverage. You do not. I'm on the board. There's not been any contract signed at all. They haven't even been discussed.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm being told by Deerfield Fire Chief that they will cover.
I'm not saying that they won't. I'm just saying there's not a contract.
Okay.
I'm the chief of the fire department that was shut down abruptly on the 19th of August. You have no coverage to do mutual aid coverage. So if Newport or Barneville's out on a call, you're going to wait for the next agency. They shut us down out of greed and lies.
Okay, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot more developing on this. This is the statement that I got from Deerfield's fire chief.
That's the statement that was given to the town of Russia, the town of Ohio last Friday night.
Okay, I'm just stating what I've been told. He is the expert in this situation in terms of us.
I understand that you're stating what you were told,
mm-hmm.
but what he told you is not true. So
okay.
I'm not saying that you're lying.
I'll reach out to him and I'll follow up with him.
That's fine, but I can tell you there have been no contracts written, signed. Even the attorney for the district stated they should not have done this before there were contracts in place. I spoke to her today.
Okay.
And there is still not contracts in place.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll reach out to Jim.
Yeah, what they're doing is on a mutual aid agreement. They're dual tolling agencies. If somebody's busy, It is what it is. That's the way it's going to work.
No, you can't.
Yeah, we'll take public comment at the end.
Why does it shut down? I don't know. It has nothing to do with it.
That has nothing to do with the town of Deerfield.
We'd have to talk to the representatives from Poland.
Who?
From the Poland Fire District.
Can you give me your report when you're done?
Yes, yeah. Secondly, I received a call from the Marcy Town Supervisor, Brian Scala, on Friday. He wanted to know if, Marcy Deerfield youth sports programs, kids from Marcy and kids from Deerfield use the facilities in Marcy for baseball, football, cheerleading on Toby Road. And they went through the facilities up there, and the buildings are dilapidated, the siding's going on, it needs electrical work. So he reached out and asked if the town would be able to entertain giving $7,000 portion of an $18,000 quote to help offset those costs, for them. I think it's a great thing. We typically yearly, we give $5,000 to Marcy Deerfield Athletics for equipment upgrades, things of that nature. This year, they've asked for a little bit more. I'm up there with my son for football. There's 80 kids a night for football. Well, the more than that, there's probably 120 with flag football, U8, U10. U12 uses the field at times. They're cheerleaders. I mean, you can't pull in to Toby Road. It's packed with kids. And again, it's not just Deerfield kids. It's Marcy Deerfield, but we do use their facility. So I just want to present that to the town, and I'd like to entertain a motion to approve a resolution 45-2025 for Marcy Deerfield Field Enhancement.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Is there any further discussion?
Just your number has got to be 45.
Did I say 45?
44.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read.
No, I thought you said 45.
45. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And third, last but not least, I want to regret to inform everyone that our town assessor, George Haskell, has submitted his resignation letter due to health issues. Not much I could say. I'd like to just thank him for, he gave 49 years of service back to the town. Pretty impressive. Going forward from there, I wanted to reach out to Mr. Schmidt and find out what our options are at this time.
You have an elected assessor, a sole elected assessor, which is a rarity. From my reading of the law, the Office of Real Property Services would like municipalities to get away from elected assessors. So what you can do now is you can appoint an acting assessor because it's filling an elected position. It's only for 3 months. You have to renew it. And I think the board has to discuss how you want to proceed going forward. It's too late this year to have an election for the position of assessor, so it'll have to go next year. But this might be a time, and when Mr. Mahardy was supervisor, he explored the thought of perhaps having a sole appointed assessor. And you could appoint a sole assessor. That's done by way of a local law, subject to a permissive referendum or a mandatory referendum, or just a local law. It gives you the three options. And you can transfer or change the position from elected to appointed. I don't want to speak for Matt, but this isn't the busiest time of the year for the assessor's office, so it's not something I think you have to jump on tonight, but I'll let Matt speak to that.
Yeah, I mean, not really busy right now. That's what the question was. Yeah, I have some experience with working with other assessors, for my day job. So You know, there's only two other towns in the county that still have elected positions. There are none in Madison County, there are none in Herkimer County. And in New York State, 94% of the municipalities have appointed positions and not elected. So there's several reasons to do it. It could be the criteria for qualifications are higher. There's more continuing education requirements and more rigor certifications. There's a more sense of kind of continuity, and most of the it's also difficult to find qualified candidates within municipality, and especially the inherited notion that elected positions there's greater turnover. So the you essentially get a better product, I guess. And plus, there's no you can hire from just a larger pool of qualified assessors, and so there's no notion of political any kind of collusion or anything like that. There's kind of eliminates that, and that's why the state is pushing for that sort of stuff, and why it's done pretty much in mass.
No, I think you've done a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
Just filling that role of assessor's clerk, and you have the specialization. Based on, I've talked to Attorney Schmidt a little bit in this regards. I personally would entertain changing that local law from an elected position to an appointed position. And I would recommend appointing Matt to that position just based on what, his body of work he's done for us and the recommendations we've gotten.
I wouldn't even offense to Matt. You first have to establish how you want the office to be, whether you want it to be elected or appointed.
So if we entertain having a local law to switch from an elected position to an appointment, we would set a public hearing.
Right.
For the next meeting?
Right.
Okay.
Keep in mind that an elected assessor has to be an elector of the town, which means the person who fills the position has to be a town resident. Most towns around here are having a very difficult time finding certified assessors that live within their boundaries. An appointed assessor can be somebody who doesn't necessarily reside in the town. Matter of fact, the other towns I represent, all of their assessors live outside their boundaries, so it would give you a broader group to
I see.
To select from. And again, I'm not speaking ill of Matt, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not speaking in a biased way at all. I'm just kind of speaking to, it's what I would recommend in my day job as a county employee advising municipalities. It's my day job, essentially. And that's what I would advise a municipality, just for the reasons I gave earlier, unbeknownst to any state that I might be perceived to have.
May I speak?
Sure.
So I think the first thing we need to do is see how the board feels about changing it to appointed.
That's
up to the supervisor to call that. That's probably what we should do.
Yeah, let's hear some input.
Yeah,
I think it would, in the best interest of the town, we can protect our residents better by finding the best candidate, not the most convenient.
I've probably fielded at least 22 to 23 calls from town residents thanking Matt for helping them out. I don't have anything negative in that aspect.
Again, no offense, man.
I know.
No, I know, but I'm stating.
To the office, not to the person who's going to fill it.
Right.
Sure. So, Dan, how do you feel about entertaining a local law to switch from an elected position to an appointed position?
Matt's comment that 86% of the townships in New York State are appointed now.
I think it's 94.
That certainly tells you the direction things are going in. I like Mr. Schmidt's comment about you can select somebody based on their credentials, not so much on where they live. I'm sitting here, put my mind in hyper mode, trying to think, yeah, what are the issues? What do we really need to think about? And I don't know if there's anything we need to think about. Maybe somebody on the floor has an opinion. It almost seems like at first thought, without thinking much about it, yeah, you know, make it an appointed position so we can select the most qualified person.
So we could.
Do we have to do it now, or do we just float for a bit?
Again, now I'll go back to Matt. This is not his busy time of the year, so it's not. And he's doing the duties that have to be done. It's up to you. The one thing, and the law is strange on this. It says you can do it by local law. Local law subject to a permissive referendum, or by mandatory referendum. I wouldn't do it by mandatory referendum simply because it's expensive, it's time consuming. But a permissive referendum is you adopt the local law, you put a notice in the paper saying if anybody has a problem with this, you file a petition within 30 days, and then it goes to a mandatory referendum. So, I mean, you're gonna have a public comment, and then if you have it subject to a permissive referendum, if there's a group out there that's opposed to it, they have 30 days within which to mount opposition, for the lack of a better
term. So there's a time lapse process. I'm all for initiating that process today.
Okay, so then I'll make a motion that we entertain changing the local law from an elected position to an appointed position. It'll also set
subject to a
permissive referendum. That'll also set a public hearing for next month's meeting, prior to next month's meeting.
You have to have the local law on your desks, quote unquote, 10 days before, so I'll get it out to you this week or early next. Okay, I'll send it to you if you put it in their mailbox. Is that sufficient?
Yeah.
And I'll send you a notice to put in the paper as well.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
I just had one.
Sure.
I almost understand everything you said. Can it just be a local law, or does it have to be by permissive?
It can be just a local law.
Okay. So I think in lieu of that, the three options, it's a town board decision. Because the pleasure of who we appoint works on the benefit of the town board and the town residents. So I would think we would just do it by local law. Why, you know, it's what we need, that our residents need to get the job done. And again, not throwing Matt in, but I mean, since George had issues, I kept track pretty good and Matt did mountains and mountains of work that we would have been in big trouble due to mandates by the New York State Office of Real Property, and not to mention our residents that needed things changed that were left on hold because George wasn't able to physically get the work done. So my opinion would be to do it just by local law.
I don't think there's any problem with getting a permissive resolution. What I like about that is it gives time for public input. He was hired kind of in a hurry. Last I knew was he was hired and it was said that, oh, I already told him he had the job and gave him the keys 2 weeks ago. And here he's doing a great job. He had excellent comments. But I'm a big advocate for involving the public's input, so I'm all for a permissive resolution and let the public say in this little town. Give them a voice in it. You know, I'm all for that. So I vote for permissive resolution.
Okay.
Permissive referendum.
Excuse me, thank you.
Dave, how do you feel?
Local law.
Daphne.
Decisions. We can give the public comment, but most public hearings we have been very silent of late. So, I mean, if we do it and people come and nobody says anything, or we do it and lots of people come and have lots of, so I'm back and forth on it. I say we just do a local law. It's going to give people time in advance anyways, if it has to be, 10 days beforehand?
Yeah,
before
it's
got to
be published.
And it's got to be in the paper, so.
Is there public comment with the local law?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes, we'll have a public comment.
That's all I'm an advocate for, is to give the people a voice.
I would rather just do the local law and have it done that way.
Okay.
As long as the public has a comment, I mean, it's every town.
I'm for local law too, supervisor, so.
Okay, so we'll put it in, entertain a change to local law. For my elected position to appoint.
The clerk, you can put it in your mailboxes, and I'll give her a notice, so we can have a public hearing at your next meeting.
Okay, very good.
Perfect.
I have a question on that.
No, excuse me.
We just.
Privilege to the floor.
Yeah, well, right, at late privilege to the floor, you can speak, sir. Thank you.
Do we have to vote on that?
Do
I ask?
Bill, are we all set with that?
Do we have to vote?
Yeah, you have to call a public hearing. Call for a public hearing.
Yes, I'll call for a public hearing to entertain changing local law from an elected position to an appointed position via local law. That'll be at the next, before the next month's board meeting.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. All right, rolling into new business. We have resolution 44-2025, which is amendment to highway budget line item DA 511220. Be it resolved that the town board of the town of Deerfield does hereby approve amending highway budget line item DA 5112.20, adding $116,000 for road repairs. This will be covered either by the highway fund balance in the 2025 budget, which is that line item DA 5112.20, or...
Can you say that DA 51 what?
Yeah, 5112.
Okay, so that's just going to where all those things are?
Yeah. Or which doing the math, we have more than enough there to transfer that. If not, we'll use line item DA 0902.00. Which is the capital reserve for roads. So would someone like to entertain a motion to approve resolution 44-2025?
I'll make that motion.
Is there any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, we've already added resolution 45-2025, which was for the Marcy Deerfield Field Enhancement. So I have resolution 46-2025, an additional one I'd like to add based off of Patty Goldsmith's report from the Planning Board, just to extend the moratorium on local law number one for battery energy storage systems until 12/31/25, just based on the fact that the Planning Board's been so swamped with the work for the... For the Horatio Street project.
We have to do that by local law. So if you're adopting a resolution, would be have a public hearing at your next meeting
to
extend it.
Okay. Okay, so resolution 46-45 will be to...
No,
46. No, no.
44, 45, 46 was the public hearing.
Oh, right, yes, 47, I'm sorry.
So it's 47.
I got too many notes on this page. 47 will be for to have a public hearing. We'll have to set that for, well, it'll have to be next meeting, but what time do you think we should set that for? We already got the 6
o'clock.
Well, we have the 6 o'clock next week.
And 6:15. Yeah. We've done that in the past. 6 okay. And
6:15. So if there's not a lot of comment, I can have a cigarette.
Resolution 47-2025 will be to set a public hearing
for
local law to extend the moratorium on battery energy storage systems. Okay, you're up. All in favor?
Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. Moving on to official reports. County Legislator, Mr. Buck.
Good evening.
couple things from the counties end. Our recent tourism report just came out, and we are seeing an increase in tourism. That means hotels are full, restaurants are busy, people are coming here to visit Oneida County. We're staying here, but we're stopping off to at least stay in Oneida County, so that's a positive signs for our local area. We're busy with the Chobani expansion project, which is going to be huge for Oneida County and surrounding areas. We are also in the midst of working on our MDCC dental hygienist program. We are in the construction phase for that, so that we can be one of few areas and counties that actually have a program to support a dying trade. So we're busy at the county. Resident complaints, none. Good
one. All right, thanks, Dave.
I don't think I have your number.
I think the lines were down in front of your house.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's probably in front of my house we fell into.
You didn't say a word.
He's out there digging.
Late Christmas.
Yeah. Councilperson Phil Sackham.
Hi, everybody. I've been doing a lot of preliminary budget work. The preliminary budget will be due. Supervisor has to have it in Karen's office at the end of the month. And then, of course, we'll have a working session with the board. Some noticeable differences to date from last year is the revenue that makes us survive county sales tax is down considerably from last year, which is really hard to understand with tariffs and everything else. The more things cost, the more sales tax they should be. But I don't know, one possible reason might be gasoline sales. Fuel is so cheap, that's a huge contributor in our county to sales tax. Anyway, I'm still confident that when it's all said and done, we'll have a great budget. And I know that everybody's concerned that our number one priority is to have a 0% general tax, which we have currently and will strive to keep, and try to hold the line as best we can on the highway fund, our only taxable fund here, except for special districts. Unfortunately, all costs go up, and when you see the revenues you need the most kind of stagger, doesn't mean they're not going to come back. We had some tremendous years. So we'll do the best to deliver you a package that you'll be happy with. At least it won't make you not sleep. And the only other thing, they did some building stuff. We're getting a boiler and a HVAC service this month. And that'll be taken care of for the winter months. And I bug Sam a lot, but nothing official. So. Especially about that pothole across from Dave Buck's house. I'm going to go down with a jackhammer too this morning, so if any noise complaints, I'm just making it a little bit. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilperson Daphne Jones.
Yeah, I have some things. So last month there were some requests and suggestions for the website. I'm naming you because you brought it up. From Councilperson Cusco. So the first one was that the recordings were removed from the website. I remember you mentioned that. And the recordings for the meetings were removed from the site, and I was confused.
No, they were removed. They weren't open.
Said that they were removed from the site, so I was confused. So I addressed that. They are on the website. But
we did find them in a different location. They're not tagged in the minutes. Is that correct?
So it's on the homepage, and it's been on the homepage. So for clarification, if you click on townofdeerfield.org and you just kind of scroll down, let's see, what do I have on there? It'll say, Karen's got a little blurb on there, and then it'll have an announcement for the next town board meeting. And then underneath that, there's information regarding the moratorium on the battery energy storage systems. And then right underneath that is a link that says, here's battery storage law that you could open. And then town board meeting recordings can be viewed here. And until the last month, there was no other navigation, so you couldn't click at the top or find anything for the recording. So I put on here, just in case it's to get there, you click on here and it'll take you there, but the link that's there is https://www.townofdeerfield.org/government/reportings. But in this previous month, the navigation is also there. So I've left it on the homepage. It still says town board meeting recording can be viewed here. And then you can click all the way at the top of the website where it says government on a tab. You click on it, whether you're on your iPhone, your Android, your computer, your laptop, whatever. Under government, you'll see boards and committees. And then right under that, the Horatio Street project will be in planning board. So under boards and committees, here's planning board. And then, oh, I got ahead of myself. Recordings, wrong one. Recordings, government tab as well. It's right under meetings and minutes. There's a link for meetings and minutes. Underneath that, it has the recordings. Got ahead of myself. There's also navigation now for the Horatio Street project. Same thing, the government tab. Then the only other thing I have is regarding removing Supervisor Sacco's letter for the Borlex thing and putting the senior info on there instead. So I took it off of the homepage. It's not there anymore. But I wasn't comfortable deleting it from the website in the effort of community transparency, as it was public record. So it is still on the website under town board. There's his letter. And as for the senior info, Laura makes a beautiful sheet, I would say about quarterly every season, and I hand type that information on the senior section of the website every time she brings it up. So that stuff has always been there. It's just not a picture on the homepage that says, go here. If you remember when you had your AARP Safe Drivers course in May, I did post that on the front of the website, and I did have a link to the senior section where I had a longer section. So, I mean, it's something I've been doing regularly. Sam's Highway, Green Waste, and Garbage Days. Anything anybody puts in the newsletter, I usually have hand-typed and put on the website all right along. So, pending any other questions, those are the website updates for now. As I say before, if you just start clicking through things, you'll find new stuff and new Pathstone stuff coming too. So. Anything else? That's all I have.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. Do you have any questions? Now, the problem I was having is the audio links would not open.
What are you using to open it on?
On my players on three Apple devices. I don't know if anyone else.
Apple, like iPhone or?
iPhone, MacBook.
Because I don't have a single problem with my iPhone. Okay. Do you have like a firewall block? Because if you're using firewall blocks, that would prevent it from being, because I use it on Safari and Chrome on my iPhone and on my tablet, which is an iPad. I'll check
that. Can that be tagged with the minutes, so you have the minutes and then you have the audio link, so they're side by side, so it's right on that same page? Because I've seen them before.
It's right underneath. Like, if you clicked on meeting and minutes, right underneath that is recordings. So if you were navigating yourself to the meeting and minutes, it would be...
You have the link for the meeting text, and you just put the link right next to that for the audio, so it's because.
So you're saying on the homepage when I say
this.
This
is why I thought they were removed, because I didn't. I went to where I thought I saw them, because that would be the obvious place. So I'm suggesting maybe put that link right next to where you have the link for the meeting. So then you have a text meeting minutes, and you have an audio recording meeting minutes under meeting minutes.
I can try. I'll try it. If not, but I can also just put it on the homepage. Here's last month's.
And I'll check my media player.
Let me know, because if it's not that, then I can see if they can find something else.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Councilperson Dave Kolick.
Yeah, I met with two more security companies for cameras for the town park. So that'll make the third one. So I should have all the estimates together for next meeting so we can all discuss. And we did talk about Starlink, because I know it was brought up in one of the meetings. One of the townspeople brought up Starlink, and that is a possible option if we can't get line of sight from the town building to the municipal building. And the other thing I just had a complaint on Marnie Street. A family had two trailers, ATV, multiple vehicles. They're actually parked in a front yard, but they weren't derelict. So they're all registered licensed and stuff like that. So I'm not sure if there's an issue with that or not.
Yes.
You'd have to check with the, the codes guy. There might be a line of sight issue.
Okay.
Yeah, just reach out.
That's it. That's all I got.
Give Jim a call.
I will. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Councilperson Dan Fusco.
Sure, thank you.
Yep.
I said I would get three estimates for the roof repair to put the ice breaks on and possible gutter or siding repair. Two came in. But one's just for the ice breaks, which I think is the most immediate issue. And the other is more comprehensive. I would like to submit those to the supervisor, please.
I think you'll be good with two because the third didn't respond. I believe that's okay. I don't know, Bill, that sound right?
Yeah, what's your, you look at the procurement policy. Yeah. I think that's the way the procurement policy
is. I think you'll be good with two.
I thought maybe, thank you. All right. Now, getting back to the misunderstanding we had about the youth program and my suggestion that the board should review the hiring of employees that work in any recreation or town park. There is actually a state grant that would pay $25,000 for that. So it's not an outlandish recommendation. It's actually a state initiative. And I have a printout here that I'll submit to the supervisor and to Clerk Day so she can make copies and provide it to anyone else who needs it. But it's the town of Dover down in Dutchess County. It's a township with about 8,000 people, about 8,400, so exactly twice what we have, you know, or as exact as you want to get with those numbers. And what it is, town board adopts child protection policy as part of their 2025-2026 youth basketball program, funded in part through Dutchess County government and the New York State Office of Children and Families. That's pretty innovative. At the August 27th, so just recently, the town of Dover, at the regular board meeting, adopted a comprehensive child protection policy as part of a $25,000 grant award from Dover City Government and the New York State Office of Children and Families for its 25-26 youth basketball program. This was the interesting part. Above and beyond required clearance and background checks for town employment and summer day camp positions, the policy further affirms the town of Dover's commitment to protecting the safety and well-being of children who participate in all town recreation, sports, camps, academic enrichment programs. A copy of the policy is attached below. So I'm gonna submit this for review. The URL is very easy to find this in an internet search, and when it comes up, this page will come up. So what I had recommended is, It's a progressive suggestion. It went way off the rails, naturally. I wish it hadn't. Maybe I could have been more articulate in how I was presenting it. But this is what we can do in a town to really, really upscale things. Now, Dover is not a big town. I've worked with some cities that have hundreds of millions of dollars budgets, and they do this stuff all the time. And I'm not self-promoting or bragging or showing up, whatever it is. But I was, years ago, I was deeply involved with the youth sports safety organization. And when all the brain injury protocol was set for youth sports, the heat exhaustion was a big one, I was part of only 23 people at the Harvard Medical College. And including there was the representatives from the NCAA, the top neurologists from NIH, made friends with the women's national soccer coach team. We exchanged safety protocol and warming up, and you know, the Olympic coaches. So I was deeply involved with this. It's an issue very close to my heart. That's why I took that up the way I did. I might have come down a little heavy, but I'm getting better. But this is something I think we should look at. This is very progressive, and it shouldn't be met with opposition. It should be welcomed. I'm presenting it as a member of this board in the interest of upgrading our town and safeguarding the youth that work in our house, on our land. We should take responsibility for that. That is a really egregious offense. I can't, well, I can say I can't imagine what it's like for the family. I know what it's like for the family. I gave you some of my background on that. I've been on all sides of this, the good side, the bad side as well. And I've worked in prevention, I've worked in rehabilitation. It's a very interesting issue. So I would like to resubmit this. And like I said, there's a state grant, $25,000 they will give towns for this initiative. So respectfully, I would like to present this printout. Like I said, from this you can find the web listing. And I'll present it to Clerk Day so she can make copies and to the supervisor. So I think that's great. The other thing, I was on my 25th wedding anniversary with my bride and my phone was blowing up. I was in another time zone, so it was blowing up 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, regarding the cancellation of the contract with the Poland Fire District. So naturally, I wanted to find out what was going on. I had to have answers for people. So I put calls into everybody. I put calls into the Barneville, to Newport. The Deerfield, you got a call from me, Greg. The Deerfield Chief Griffiths got a call from me. Newport Chief, those are the three calls that were not returned. It's a very serious issue. I wish they were so we can get to the bottom. But I had good conversation with the Poland Chief, with the Poland Secretary, and the Chairman of the Poland Fire Commission. And they kept me up to grace, up to speed, blow by blow. And my understanding is, to date, we have no contracts, as was previously spoken of. We only have the mutual aid contracts, which have been in position all along. Now, I live in the district. You know, I've worked hard my whole life since I was a little kid. I built a home in this town. I love this town. But right now, I feel like I have this home, and my family rides the roads every day. And if I have a fire at my house, I am no different than somebody. And we have no fire contract. So is this like third worldism that I'm experiencing after living a life and working a life to have a nice home in a town? This is a serious, serious issue. Whatever the riff is, we have to end this. We have to resolve this like tonight somehow. We need contracted fire protection. Now, whether the town of Deerfield can say just that to whichever chiefs, whichever chairmen of whichever commissions, guys, we need this and we need this now more than mutual aid. Because if there's a big disaster and all these towns are busy, they're coming to Deerfield last. There's also travel issues. Distance is distance. It cannot be changed. Poland was, I think the response time was less than 5 minutes, sometimes 6 minutes from my home. When they moved the firehouse from the village of Poland to where it is up near Cold Brook, my insurance went up $600 a year. If they find out I do not have contracted fire coverage, who knows what's going to happen? I and many others might get canceled. I don't know, keeping my fingers crossed. Mr. Supervisor, whatever is in your power, I think we need to act on that immediately. This is extremely dangerous not to have contracted fire coverage. So as it was stated, the letter you read was the statement that the Poland Fire Commission put out as to which areas, how the mutual aid is covers areas. But understand that is the existing mutual aid agreement, and it is not a contract. So there's no legal obligation to provide fire coverage for the section of, excuse me, folks. Thank you. It's kind of hard to hear. The section of Deerfield that was covered by the Poland Fire Company has no contracted coverage. I think that is of immediate concern and very dangerous. So I urge the fire chief of Deerfield and supervisor of Deerfield to get deeply involved with this and make sure that our town has fire coverage. I mean, it's 2025. Our fire companies are exceptional. It's one of the great things of being alive in 2025, that in advanced medicine and higher education. Fire protection is right up there, folks. That's how I feel. Okay, so that's that. And the other thing, one last thing, I don't have too much, so we can be relieved. I still hear the rhetoric that the Horatio Street project is not low-income housing. According to Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York State, the money, the $12.12 million, comes from the low-income housing tax credit program from HUD, okay? That is in her words. If you want me to call her office, I will get that verification, but I don't think I need to. There's a lot of dynamics to this. I also still urge our planning board to get a comprehensive view of the entire projects. I travel a lot, and I see what's going on. There's a trend nationwide, and it's happened in other countries, to put not only affordable housing, but the new trend is warming centers for homeless in conjunction with affordable housing. The next thing now is accessory housing units. I think they call them, or dwelling units. They call it ADUs. And these are little tiny mini housing that they're putting in conjunction with the affordable housing. Now, this is why it's important that the planning board insists that we get a comprehensive view from the developers, because they're talking about single family homes. Well, are these single family homes, these ADUs, these little mini houses? And I have pictures on my phone, because I travel and I just was in an area where these were like mushrooms popping up after lightning storm. It's amazing. I have a councilman Facebook page, and anybody's welcome, of course, to go and look at the pictures that I post and see what this stuff actually is. And the reason it's important to identify this as low-income housing, because Pat Stone mentioned their finance partner is the Bank of America. I just put something on that Councilman Fusco page that quotes him in saying that they make a lot of money and they're big players in what they call housing tax credit equity investments. And they state that 86% of their investments is in the housing tax credit equity investment program, and that's where they make their money. And I don't know tax law. I know we have a great CPA here, but Pat Stone even said they... Is that right that a councilman should leave the meeting in their quorum?
I'm not sure why he stepped away.
Okay.
He has the right to step away, correct?
In quorum?
Mm-hmm. Unless you have standard rules that you've adopted.
So anyway... I was talking about the tax...
Housing tax credit equity investments.
Bank of America, this is how they do business. They are engaged in this project. And according to tax law, I think they could amortize it over a 10-year period. So they take this money, these tax credits, they loan the money, they get paid back the money, but they also own the tax credits, so it's a money multiplier for them, right? But then they pay that off over 10 years to offset other profits they may have. Finance institutions do this, and high wealth individuals do this. In order to qualify for these tax credits, they must meet certain criteria of low income housing, of these new ADU units. So we really need to get disclosure, full disclosure and clarity from the developers. What is it they are willing to build?
So,
I heard you say we need senior housing. Why can't we get them to build senior housing? We don't need the substance. I'm sorry, go ahead.
When you're talking about the ADUs, you're referring to the lower section with arson, the arson developer?
I see it as, is this what they're thinking? Because they're not being clear. They're going for a permit to build, I think, 5-story, but then they say they can build whatever they want. So in my travels, in my research on this, I find that ADUs, a company... low-income housing, and also the warming centers, okay? Look at the web. I'm going to be putting some up on ADUs, but please look at Councilman Fusco's page. I try to put a really neutral, unbiased, unopinionated example of what this is. And I have the fortune of traveling. I mean, I see this stuff everywhere I go. We're late to the scene, the Central New York. But when you get the warming centers, then the other thing is they want a hotel. Now, you get the housing credits if you put in a daycare center, that's part of the requirement, and a hotel. Because hotels get what they call emergency hotel credits. So when you have a homeless individual, or what they call a non-housed individuals, there's organizations that will give them a voucher to go and stay in a hotel for 3 days or so. Oneida County put a ban because these people were coming up from New York City. They had the New York City emergency hotel voucher. They were coming up from New York City and using them in Oneida County hotels. Executive Vicente put an emergency ban on that in Oneida County, but we still have the use of emergency hotel vouchers that can be used. So when you have a proposal like what we're seeing, and it is low-income housing tax credits, maybe this is why they're denying it, and they're not being specific as to what exactly these single-family dwellings are going to be, and they're going to put a hotel in. This isn't going to be a Marriott five-star, I can assure you that. What are they up to? Maybe it's not what I'm thinking at all.
Dan, I'm a
businessman, and I would never go into an agreement with anyone with this sort of grade.
Can I interject for a second here, though, Dan? Pathstone is only doing that one portion. So are you saying that Pathstone is going to use the tax credits they're getting from this, from Bank of America, and they're going to build in the other portion? Because the lower portion has nothing to do with Pathstone. So I'm just confused where you think they're going to put. Arson is going to contract out to different people, different hotels. If Pathstone is doing that one project, and everything is that one project, and we've seen the plans for it, and there's no warming centers. It's a daycare center on one side, and then we have a height limit of how many stories we can have. So it goes to the cap. And
that's how they're presenting it, and that all looks nice. But if you look at the whole deal, the whole site, there's $12.1 million that is being given as a grant if criteria is met, and that money can be used to rehabilitate old sites, to build affordable housing, and for land acquisition. That land really hasn't been acquired yet. It still sits in the hands of the woman that owns it, and I believe ARCN members are her relatives. Their corporate address for ARCN and Horatio Street Development LLC is the home address of the lady that owns that land. Now, who knows what their intentions are? I have no idea. I wish they would tell us clearly in a way we can trust. But that money, some of that $12.1 million can be used for land acquisitions. It could be a really easy way of taking state grant money and selling yourself your own land for a lot of money.
But they're not
agreeing with you, so.
I think
the $12 million in tax credits is part of the 30-some-odd million dollar Pathstone project, period.
So they,
it's on 6.7 acres of over a 50-acre parcel. And nobody would buy the land before they found out if their project was approved. I think that's a fair statement.
So
I don't know, you know, I'm just telling you, that those are the facts.
Yeah, they've said that it costs 30 plus million.
It's going for that 65 apartment.
We have that as a fact.
Saratoga,
I would like to see that.
Last week, Saratoga.
You don't have to yell at me.
I want to make sure you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Last week, Saratoga Springs opened a 202 affordable housing project for $73 million. They cut the ribbon in Saratoga Springs. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm trying to say is we're not the only community that things are being vetted in. It's all over the place. And that project was $73 million.
Patty, we can get that.
Get that clear. Correct? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll get that for you.
Yeah, it's in one of the many packets that are on the website. And we've clarified this in one of the many times they've been here, and we've had discussions with that. Because that was a big contention, is how much money is it going to cost? Where's the money coming from? And they said, well, through the credits we're getting 11 plus million, but it's going to cost them more because it's an over 30 million project to do.
Yeah, they have Bank of America as a project, and they take those credits and they exchange the Bank of America for the loan. This is all stuff we need to be very well aware of. There's just too much grade.
We also need to be aware of what the actual facts are as well.
There's too much grade, and there's too many people on our planning board and our town board that are all for this when the public is saying,
no, that statement's incorrect. It hasn't even come to the town board yet. It may never come to the town board. And you're making assumptions that people are in favor of it. You can't speak for how I'm going to vote until it comes to me.
Okay, I'm making assumptions by how vehement you are in other statements you said. So let's see when it comes to a vote, but let's do our homework before it comes to a vote. I think that's what people
I think want. We all need to do
let's
our homework and look at how much it costs.
It may never come to us,
well.
So it's not fair for you to speak for Mr. Kolick, Mr.
I'm not speaking for them.
Yes, you did.
No,
you said the town board's in favor of this.
I said it in
your all right. Let's try to get some. Yeah. Let's contain ourselves, sir. Guys, let's go. Let's contain ourselves, all right?
You don't need this.
Let's continue.
You're the one causing
Phil.
No, I'm not.
Where is
Dan, Phil.
Rule of order? Because this is...
Calm down, please. Enough from the crowd. Thank you.
So, please look at that stuff. That's all I'm saying. I do my homework.
Dan, listen. Everyone's doing homework. We're all looking at it, okay? It's in the planning board's hands right now. I'm still doing research on this.
Okay.
Everybody's doing research on this. Right now, it's in the planning board's hands.
Me too, and I'm sharing the findings of my research with the board.
Thank you. Let's move on. Anything else, Dan?
I think that's it. If you want me to come up with something, I can't. No, we're good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Town Clerk Karen, if you have youth, you can go with youth, too.
All right. We started a dog numeration. The original flyer went out to every household in the town of Deerfield. The last one that was done in the town of Deerfield occurred prior to 2012. Many towns do it every 5 to 10 years. Ours got pushed aside a little bit. So I developed the flyers that you probably all received, and the response has been absolutely amazing. Since mid-July, when they first went out, until today, we've had 96 unlicensed dogs now licensed in the town of Deerfield. So that brings in $1,177, of which Ag and Markets gets $118, which leaves us with a total, in a month and a half, a total of $1,059 for so far a month and a half. I think it's great. There were a lot of people in the town who were totally unaware that they had to license their dog. I had some that licensed them once, thinking that you only license your dog once a year. And I explained to them. And I explained to them the reason, and I think people need to know this. We're not going to get rich on the $12 that we get per dog each year. However, if your dog gets out, I call them getaways. You open the door for the mailman and boom, off they go. And if they wander a few blocks or a few roads away, they may not find their way back. So now you'll see, if you ever get on Deerfield Friends and Family, you'll see people, we saw a dog over here, no this, no collar, no this. And they call the dog or the animal control. Our animal control people will hunt that dog down. They will find it. And if it's possible, they will also locate the owner. Now, if your dog has a tag on it, it's simple. You call me. I say, oh, that tag number belongs to so-and-so, and then you get your dog back. It doesn't go to Stephen Swan's. It doesn't just disappear. If your dog doesn't have a tag, if the dog is not licensed and we can't find you, we have no means to hold your dog until that time comes. So unfortunately, we have a contract with Anita Stevens-Swans. A few years ago, our contract for a lost dog was $75. If your dog was found, they would house the dog for up to 5 days. The town, if you can't find the person, the town would incur that bill.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Thanks. If once the administration down there changed, the new contracts that came out to the town of Deerfield and all the local towns in our community went from $75 a dog to $800 to $1,200 a dog. So if your dog gets loose and you have to go to Steven Swan's to pick it up, you're going to be responsible for that. If we find your dog and we can't find you, your dog will end up there eventually, and the town has to pay it. So we won't get rich on our $12 dog per year, but we will save oodles of money not having to, being able to find who the dog owner is and not have to take them to Anita Stevens-Swans. So that was why I felt it was very important to do this, because if there's two dogs loose in 1 week, you've got minimal $1,600 out of your animal control budget, out of your town. And there are many times there's a lot more than two that are missing.
Let's talk about cats now.
Cats, we did find.
I'm just kidding.
No. Cats were $500 at Steven Swan's. Yeah. So if you find a basket sitting on Brazy Park blacktop, like we did in the spring, with a mother cat and five kittens, and they all went, that's $500 per cat. So we were able to get a contract with Rome Animal Control. They couldn't take our dogs, but they were willing to take our cats. They charge half of what Anita Stevens-Swans does. So it's you know, I've had many pleasant people come and license their dogs. I've had a few that were a little disgruntled that they had to. But I think if we look at the whole picture, I think it's a better idea to have all our dogs licensed. Not to mention that it's a state law and it has to be done.
Well, and I've said it once and I'll say it again. Even if your dog is recovered and put in Steven Swan's or Rome, you can't get your dog back unless it's licensed and vaccinated half the time.
Right.
So,
right.
You're also putting yourself up and your dog in a bad position. So I don't see why $12 a month to
a month.
Oh my God.
A year.
Yeah. I don't see why you wouldn't.
I'm just paying
$12 a month.
I'm just very proud of the fact that 96 different families decided to come forward so far and license their dogs. And that's all. As far as the youth program, we're on hiatus. Fall, winter, and spring should start the beginning of October.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Highway Superintendent Sam.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to keep track of everybody talked about tonight. I got 100 parts to be shortest.
That's good.
Well, where's the salt?
Yeah. Not usually that way. Right now, we're in the process. We'll probably finish tomorrow morning, September's Greenways pickup. And I know we're going to be working over on finishing stripping shoulders on Crooked Brook Road and paving the rest of that road. Wednesday, Thursday this coming week. Then the following week we'll be down on Hedgewood, do a little bit of drainage work, put the pavement top on back on top of that. Then we can start getting rid of our maintenance products. We'll be down. Jim fixing that hole down there and around the driveway.
Sure, that hole.
We haven't forgotten about it. getting a little short on help, so things are
the hole is growing.
A little help.
Pie hole.
Yeah. You're gonna be talking about salt contract as of this morning. There still is no state contract out for salt. Unless somebody's heard something different, I talked with the state this morning. There still hasn't not been one left. I'm assuming it's, by now it's usually out. It hasn't been let yet, so I don't know what's going on. I'm sure that the prices will be up.
What happens?
We're going to be hauling sand pretty soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens if we don't end up?
I can't answer that question. I don't know because...
Who can we, who can we complain to?
All the towns are in the same boat yeah. right now. They don't know what to do.
I got a lot of it in my
dick. No, I'm sure you've heard it from all of them. So we're all looking for answers. I'm hoping the state's going to come through for us, but as I find out, I'll let everybody know. We talked about the drainage from Hedgewood the following week. To date, Brayton Road's been paved. These have to be chip sealed yet. Brayton Road had a top coat put on. Davis Road West.
Oh, Brayton Road looks great, by the way. Sorry.
I love it.
Yeah,
you can show.
Still have a chip seal put on.
Yeah, no, I went by it over the weekend, and without that, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Not well, I should say that road for a long time. But, Crooked Brook Road, we got that last little bit from Steuben Road West out to the end. Mm-hmm. Finished Wednesday, Thursday this week. Still haven't heard anything back from Upperville Paving and the D part or the fencing quotes. I'm going to reach out to some other companies and see if I get some other companies to give me some quotes on that stuff. That's about it. I said I got the easiest report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Buildings and codes, Mr. Maxwell. He left a report for review. Assessor, Matt.
Yeah, not too much to report out of the ordinary. Bill had mentioned it's kind of a slow time of the year. But, still doing the regular tasks. Processing property transfers and looking at structures from building permits. And putting out any fire that might come up with from a citizen that needs a change or a question or that. So, moving forward, there'll be stuff in the upcoming months for newsletter stuff and talking about exemption season and getting ready for the next round of things. So,
okay.
So have more to report then.
Okay, thank you. Planning Board, Patty.
Yes, so we had our meeting on Wednesday last week, and we had a question about a subdivision on Walker Road from Gary Stephens Jr. He's looking to divide his property into three other lots, and his home is already there. The other thing we did was we set the public hearing date for the Pathstone site plan application. That's going to be September 24th at 6 p.m. here at the Municipal Building. Karen, I'll have the legal notice ready for you this week. And then the other bit of business we did was we did have some discussion about the battery energy storage systems. But then seeing we put the moratorium in place in May, running up against the deadline for the six-month window. So that's why we asked for an extension. Pathstone has been taking up a lot of our time. So if we could get that in place, we would be able to finish that probably at the end of the year.
Okay. But you're comfortable with that date? Or is that something
just
we should push out?
The
12/31/25 for the moratorium.
Months. Just a 3 month.
Is that
I
that's,
think so.
Okay.
Pathstone, we should be wrapping that up in the next month or so. And it's starting to tail down. Once we get past the public hearing, that'll be just, the final decisions we need to make and recommendations that might come with that. So that will give us. And I think the biggest decision we have to make with the battery energy storage is how we wanted to look at the bigger systems. I think what we have in place already for the tier one systems is appropriate, unless there's been some changes, which would be housekeeping, if like the national electrical codes have been changed or anything like that. So that's not going to take a lot. It's going to be more involved on the flip side with the larger systems. Okay. Whether we want to prohibit them or prohibit them altogether.
Okay.
So.
All right, thanks. ZBA and seniors, Laura.
Okay, we haven't had any applications come in for a variance, but I have been in touch with Matt on one issue that we had from a variance from last year, and he took care of it. There was a little difference between what the attorney was telling the people and was going by Utica Coles and not Deerfield, so we talked there. And I do hear about the different building permits going, being issued, and I heard about one today that's gonna be coming up, but I don't think it's gonna come to me. The seniors meet regularly. This Thursday we're gonna have our Italian luncheon. And then we're just getting into our fall schedule. Probably not any more trips, because the trips between our budget for buses and different things, buses have gone way up,
yeah.
As Karen knows. It's very hard to find something reasonably priced, you know. And that's it.
Okay, thank you. Historian, Mr. Fauci, I don't believe he's in here, no. Parks Committee, Debbie?
Not very much to report. Parks Committee, we have some new members, so we're getting together and hopefully have some.
Okay, I'm going to give you a call. Maybe we can touch base and, you know, chat again. We'll see where we're at with things. Okay?
Yep.
Thank you. Attorney, Mr. Schmidt.
Nothing to report, thank you.
Okay. No media time. All right, we have late privilege of the floor. Anyone for late privilege? Yes, sir. Just state your name, please.
My name is Ron Bissett. I was able to attend the planning board meeting. I have a few questions. There was people from Paston. We were able to answer some of the questions. Just to clarify, and I could be off a little bit, please correct me if I am. They said the income could be as low as $13,000 to somewhere up around $65,000. They said there'd be no security, okay? They said they figure 65 children, 65 kids on the premise. People will be chosen by lottery, they stated. the one thing that concerns me is when I asked about security, there was a meeting at the North Utica Senior Center, and here's the minutes of the meeting. And in those minutes, it states that there'll be 24/7 security on that premise.
I believe that's what they told us initially. Am I correct?
They told me no.
They said there's going to be a facilities manager.
They didn't say security?
I think they brought up that their plan was to get that road to connect to the other portion for the other project. And in the future, if there's a road from that lower project to SUNY Poly, that they could maybe contract and have SUNY Poly. But that was talks for way in the future and not regarding Capstone itself.
If
that was the conclusion.
If I stated that, then I'm sorry. I misspoke.
No,
because
I'm not putting anybody out. I just want to make
it was brought up,
please do.
And
yeah.
I think that's
all
where
right.
some confusion came up.
But I did ask the question not once, but twice. And they finally responded by saying, our security will be the doors will be locked. That's their security.
Plus, they're going to have
camera systems. Doors are locked.
But not 24/7 power security.
Patty, do you remember the name of the company that they wanted to do the child care through? Because I think the child care, that is something we could have them look into for their own facility.
First Learning?
Yeah, so maybe I can reach out to them and see if...
The other concern I had, I asked about the 65 children being on that premise. What is there for them to do on that small footprint of a piece of property? They said there's going to be a trail around the pond. The retention pond can't be that big for a 6-acre lot. I'm very concerned because it's a very busy intersection. There's 4-lane highway, there's bridges, and we don't know if it's going to happen, but those are all things that everyone needs to be responsible for, are those children.
I mean, I completely agree.
And the fire protection that we may not have.
Right.
Because they're over there tied up.
I completely agree, Bob. I work at Genesee Street Children's Center, and Genesee Street is a very busy area. Yeah, and I will say, the front of that building, there's a big yard, so we would take the kids there. But mainly what we would do is we had a gated, very small, smaller than probably what this is going to be, where we would take the kids from 2.5 to school age. So, I mean, what you get is what you get in the building, not necessarily just the outside, is more for gross motor and movement. Right. So to have somewhere to even walk the kids is better than a lot of other daycare facilities that are around.
I've seen the sign
of
care.
Court Street Children's Center, that's another one. That's have just that little in the back. And Court Street, there's no front yard there. And they do very well there. And what you're paying for is what they're getting inside, and then gross motor outside.
I've seen Genesee, so I've seen you moving the kids around with wagons and walking.
Yeah,
three,
so that's how you, that's how you offsite.
But our concern are the kids that are on foot that are looking for something to do. That bridge is very dangerous. There's no fencing to protect anybody from throwing things off the bridge in either direction.
He's talking about the residents.
Sure,
the
Well, that's where I'm getting confused, because
I'm just saying
from a child care standpoint.
We're talking about upwards of 65 children being on that property. That's not very big.
Nothing to do.
With nothing to do. They have to go somewhere. I wish our town park was closer, because I'd recommend they come here. It's a beautiful park. And move them about the town so everybody can enjoy it. But it's far away.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Yes, sir. Just state your name, please.
It's Richard Gassner. I saw this item on the website there, and I was wondering where we are in the program. You people track this?
I have to see the...
Yeah, I put that on there just as a general...
It was just a general reference. Right now, we are in a public hearing for the site plan application.
So
way up at the top.
I don't know where... Can you put on here where it is?
This is different. This is just a general overview. This isn't our exact.
No.
Well, could we release to the public when it is?
When it is. Where it is in the process.
Where it is in the process, because I'm going to just follow the process along.
They've completed their site plan application. The application
is... Is that on here?
Again, this doesn't... It's just a general overview. This doesn't represent exactly what we're doing.
Do you have one that does represent
it? I have it in the zoning ordinance. And I think I handed it out. It was Article 16 in the zoning ordinance.
Is it on the website?
That's a New York State regulation. So
yes.
I got that from New York State zoning ordinance.
Yeah,
so I just put that on there as a general.
Well, I'm fine. I would like to see, I would like to follow.
Let's keep it down, please, so you can hear this, gentleman. What, repeat yourself, please. I couldn't hear you.
I would like to see a plan on what you're doing and where we are in the plan.
Yes, to see it. Okay, so just, I mean, again, this is just a rough outline, not entirely representative of Deerfield, but we are in application submitted, public hearing, county referrals. Yep. Basically, is this, we've done this.
I mean, maybe
we're
we can update the
I'll update the picture with hours and a star.
And then it'll come back to us after the public hearing.
We'll have Daphne update the drawing.
She
knows, she knows where to.
Yeah, I put it up there.
Now, the other thing is, I've been doing reading on here, and I really think that this is a subsidized housing program. One of the reasons is because on the April 16th letter here, it says that this transformative project will create 565 affordable housing units, including 19 one-bedroom, 27 two-bedroom, 19 three-bedroom, all aimed at serving households earning up to 60% of the area median income. Now that means that the people that are in there can only meet, they have to meet the 60% of an area median income. And I'm not quite sure how somebody can come up with $75,000 for a three-bedroom house, which if you have a couple of kids, could ever rent that, because that just doesn't add up right. So what I would really like to propose is to reevaluate this whole program in terms of subsidized housing. The other thing I did is I went and looked at the available funding, and they got three fundings, and all of them are subsidized housing. So this is clearly a subsidized housing project. So I think we're sort of, I've heard people say that it isn't subsidized housing, but I think the facts that are written down here clearly say it is. So I would like to see the project defined in terms of subsidized housing.
Can I comment on that, sir? So that 60% is a HUD low-income housing tax credit program requirement. So that does verify that this is LAHTC subsidized housing.
And doesn't it mean
this is why I said I wish we could just start at that point of conversation. The other thing, Patty, you mentioned there's going to be public comment on the site plan review.
Yes, the public hearing is scheduled for the 24th.
The public comment for the, what is it for?
Just the pass stone session.
For the what? The site plan review?
Yes.
The public comment is September 24th at what
6
time?
6 p.m.
Okay.
It's
ready. Yes, sir.
Wilson, I have a couple of questions. One for Mr. Sayako. Can you give me an update on what's going on with the house at the corner of Prescott and Cosby Manor?
Well, the way we left it last month, Mr. Sutton, Dan was going to look into it when we were talking over here, and it was refuted that it wasn't sold at auction, which I was under the understanding it was.
The bank bought the bank.
Okay. We contacted the bank. They said they'd take care of it.
Who hit the bank? Because I've been trying to call them, and I can't get through to anybody.
Mr. Maxwell got a hold of them, and they said that we worked quite a few hours trying to find out where the mortgage was through.
Well, it was through American Bank.
Yes. Right. That's.
I don't know why it took hours. I just made one phone call. But you had said that you were going to talk to the town about going down and taking care of it. They did it. They did it once last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Sam said that they're not allowed to go on private property.
That's correct.
Right. How did we go around and do it last year?
Because last time we were able to get the homeowner, before it went to auction, to be responsible for the cost to do it. And the bank said they would step in, not only mow, they said they'd clean up the fence and the pool and everything, and they did nothing.
Right.
Because they're held to no accountability. What do you do?
So there's nothing the town can do to force them to do it or do it and build it, the bank? I just have to keep looking at it for another 3 years?
I mean, you can speak with Mr. Maxwell. They said they were going to take care of it.
Well, last time that I got anything from Mr. Maxwell was he was going to put a letter on the door. There's no letter on the door. So I'm waiting.
I did what I could, but I'm not the coachman. So I did everything I could.
Okay. Now, my next question would be on the changing the town law for the tax assessor.
Mm-hmm.
You said if local law is used and you guys just vote to change it, you have a public hearing after that?
No. It's before.
Before.
Public comment.
That's at 6 p.m. before our next board meeting.
Okay, that was my only question, because I would have thought that you already voted on it.
No, you get to speak
first. That was the question I had on that.
You get to speak first.
Okay.
Mr. Sutton, which house is this on the corner of Cosby and Somerset?
Corner of Cosby Manor Road and Prescott. No one's lived there for five years.
Mr. Maxwell told me as well that he would put a letter on the door.
Well, there's no letter on the door.
So since he told me, I will follow up with him on that.
Property in there, they want it, they have to contact.
Thanks for letting me know, because he told me that too. I'll follow up with him on that.
Okay.
Thank you for
letting me know. So I'll go to you from now on. Thank you.
Lucky you.
There you go.
I guess that is
right. Anyone else? Yes.
Similar question.
Mr. LaPaglia.
Jim LaPaglia.
Okay. Yes.
a timeframe for resurfacing Croissant? Is it pushed over to next year, Sam?
The final paving coat will probably be pushed out to next year only because it's getting so late.
Yeah.
I'm going to fix what's there and okay. What we told you we were going to do.
So it should be at the top of the list next year.
Well, it's going to be there. I got a lot of things. My project list is full for next year. But yes, it is out of there.
Sam, may I ask what we're going to do on that road? Is that being ground down, or what are we doing there?
They'll get a top coat put on it.
I'm not a civil engineer, but when I looked at it, it looked like a lot of the problems that folks are having with the driveways because it kept getting top coated and raised up above the level.
No, that was taken right down to, actually, when we ground that, took that road down, we took it right down to rail.
Yeah, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that part of the problem with the water flow down the street through Cosby Manor Road, which is a county maintained road, and next year, the county, that road is due to be redone.
From the Skyler Town Line to Walker Road.
To Walker Road.
We met with the engineers.
Met with the engineer to discuss the water issue, and they said
that would relieve it tremendously.
It can accommodate to a certain extent to divert that flow of water from rushing down and on both sides of Croissant Circle.
So if that fixes the water issue, then it's just a matter of surface.
We don't have to go, we couldn't afford going through the storm drains and the catch basin and easements and all of that. It was too expensive.
Keep your fingers crossed.
So we just make sure that they remember what do they notify the town when they're going to plan for taking down their road?
Who's the assistant, Dave?
It's a new gentleman. We got Ed Smith and Chris Birch.
Yeah, it was Chris Birch we met with.
So we want to be in their ear.
We want to hold Chris Birch to the
plane.
Yeah.
We met, were you with us at the yard or Sam? The only issue that he thought was where it dips down there near that one house. Other than that, they're confident they can fix it from the Skyler line right to Walker Road, including alleviating Crescent Circle.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim. Yes, sir.
I've got a question. I just checked the recording, the meeting minutes online. It's not working. It doesn't play.
Okay.
It's giving me error, so I don't know.
What kind of phone do you have?
iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah, usually it works. Different recordings I check, it works, but...
Which way did you do the navigation tab through the government and the recordings, or did you click on the link from the website, homepage?
Yep, yep.
Which one? On the homepage or on the navigation tab?
Meetings and recordings. On the navigation page on the left, top left, click menu.
Okay, so you went through the navigation?
Yeah.
Okay. We just did that, so maybe there's something. But I'll have to go back to it. And
I
check.
Also recommend doing these board meetings on YouTube Live. It's fairly easy. You can do video or audio even through iPhone, or get a camera and mic and an archive so people who cannot come here have more access to it, especially online. Because Utica does that during board meetings.
Okay. We can discuss
that. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What do you use to host the audio recording?
I post. I don't. Karen records. Okay. I just post.
So you have to take the data and it has to be hosted somewhere, like on YouTube or on Google Drive or something like that. And then it becomes kind of a universal format that can be open from any device.
It's an MP4.
Yeah, see, not all devices can open that unless they have a compatible player. Maybe talk to the web people about that, and because you take an audio like that, you can host them.
I can't ask the web developer to approve something without board approval. So if I were to say, hey, can we do a YouTube Live, and you put it on the website, we would have to decide how we want to run our meetings, what the code of conduct would be,
that's
and
a different
approve
subject.
It.
No,
so
I'm talking about the issue with having a media that opens the audio.
I can ask them.
Yeah, that's
tell
what
them.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's ask that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for confirming that, because I don't have to throw away all my Apple devices.
Okay.
They're expensive. So that's all it is.
It's
a formatting issue and a universal player. So the web guys will know that later.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you. One second, Devin?
I suggest you all switch to Samsung because
Hey, can you click on recordings and tell me if it plays on your Samsung? No, I'm just kidding.
She must work for Samsung.
Dave, it's Dave, right?
Yes.
I believe there's town code that trailers are not supposed to be currently in front of the garage of a house. And there are a lot of people this in town.
Actually, they have on the front yard. And
they're not supposed to be in there for an extended period of time.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Yeah. A lot of people that live in there are
I thought the James.
Not making a priority, but if he's driving around and see him, to let me know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
Dave, I'll forward you our local laws that I have.
Okay.
So you can forward it to him.
Go ahead.
Tammy Dollar.
Yes.
I just wanted to get to the Padstone project for a minute. We talked at the last meeting a little bit about getting statistics for like another similar low income housing project for crime, for fire, for those kinds of things. So I'm kind of curious, are we even looking at that to see, can Deerfield even handle? I mean, you have no police department, right? It's a sheriff's department. So are they going to be able to take the number of calls that are going to come into a project like this? And if they can't take calls, what happens? Now there's this fire department situation. So what happens if you have the fire alarms going off 10 times a day? Which I got to tell you, Kennedy Plaza, it's at least 10 times a day. So is anybody looking at similar projects to see, can you handle the fire situation? Can you handle issues with the police department? That's a big concern to me, you all know.
Can I have Patty answer that for you? Or I'll have Patty respond to that.
The fire department that addressed that, Deerfield Fire.
The first thing you have to understand is site plan review is dealing with the nuts and bolts of this. Mm-hmm. Drainage, utility hookups, things like that. We have reached out to Deerfield Fire Department. There were concerns about the height of the building, response time. Deerfield Fire Department and Mutual Aid have assured us that they are good with it. They made recommendations as far as the nuts and bolts part of the project.
Let's just let Patty finish first.
Right, but that's in reference to an issue that is with the Poland Fire Department's.
That affects Deerfield. But does that change your opinion any?
It does. We have worked with the fire department. They haven't reached out to us to caution us about anything that's changed. In fact, they obviously reached out to Supervisor Sacco and said coverage is still there and available. It has nothing to do with Poland. This is our
system. This just spoke and told you.
That's not with Deerfield.
It's going to affect you in Deerfield. When your fire company is up in Deerfield, up in north part of Deerfield, or maybe they get called to Poland or even Ohio, all of you that are not part of the Poland Fire District, you are not going to have a fire company because they're not going to be there. They're going to be up here. But this is a trickle-down effect. Everybody in this area has been spread so incredibly thin. All of you in this room need to go to the meeting next Tuesday, September 16th at 6 p.m. at the Poland High School. Because all of us have been put at risk. All of us. And how many accidents are on Route 8 in winter? How many? So when Deerfield is up here addressing a car accident on Route 8, and then there's another one down in Deerfield, who's going to address that? Who's going to address that? It's in mutual aid. I don't know who mutual aid is for Deerfield, but it's gonna be a longer response time, and seconds are the difference between life and death. Seconds. You need jaws of life there. No one's there with jaws of life, and you gotta wait another 10 minutes. That person's already bled out, or maybe they froze to death because it was 20 below zero, and you couldn't get someone there in time to get them out of the car.
So I think it's good to have an understanding that part of Deerfield, northern part of Deerfield, where I live, Lattice live, was in the Poland Fire District.
Right.
That's why it's a Deerfield issue.
Poland covers from Walker Road down, from the end of this road right here, all the way down to Christmas Tree Lane. and everything.
Where were the blue signs are entering Fulton Fire?
What's that?
Where the blue signs are.
Right. Yeah, basically, Egypt Road is the beginning of it, but this field on the corner is Poland, and from there down.
And I hope you understand. I understand the situation, but as far as the town board's concerned, we're not the fire commissioners. We don't set policy. All
but
we
you
do,
are the governing body.
We collected the contract money that you wanted from us and paid you last January.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. You collected the money for the fire district.
For you guys. Poland.
No, district. For the district.
Well, I'm just saying
company.
For Poland Fire Protection. Right. 42,000 and some change. We collected it and sent it to the proper authority.
Correct.
For the Poland
and
Fire.
You are the governing body for your fire company. So you guys, as the board, need to find out who is your mutual aid and what's going to happen.
And your taxes will go up.
You guys can be, you know, put the blinders on your faces, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You are aware of the fact, and each one of you on that board, if God forbid something happens, you guys are liable because you didn't follow up.
I don't agree with that.
Okay. You don't have to agree with me.
Listen, the situation's terrible.
It sure is.
It's awful, but the number one priority is coverage for the people while this is up in the air. But I just wanted to clarify what the board's role was in this. Whatever was asked for from whatever in Poland, for those blue signs to Poland, we collected in tax and paid. That's all I'm saying is what our involvement was. The rate is set by assessment. Deerfield, we collect their taxes and it just runs through our books. We don't have any say in any of it but collecting the money. I just hope you can understand
that. We have a say in terms of accountability. If we pay the money, the people of Deerfield paid that money and we're not getting service.
You're not getting service.
We have a say in that.
Well,
we need accountability.
You want me to ask them? Then I figured it out. You stopped service in August, so you owe us $14,000 and some dollars because
no, no,
of
no.
The fire district.
The fire district.
Well, yeah, but I would never say that because what's important is the people's lives are protected.
No, probably not. Say probably. So let me just explain this. Please, let me explain this. People need to understand. It's two separate entities. You have the Poland Joint Fire District, which, in layman's terms, is the accountant for the fire company. They collect the taxes. They use that money to, insure the trucks, insure the members, you know, make sure they have a facility that they can do trainings in, pay for trainings, pay for equipment. They take care of that. The Poland Fire Company raises its own money through chicken barbecues, fish fries, donations. They have their own funds. The district contracts. So your taxpayers paid money to the Poland Joint Fire District. That contract says we will provide fire protection for you.
From
Poland Fire Company. Mm-hmm. They wrote that contract. So now those of you that live in the Poland Fire District, your fire dollars that you pay in taxes are going to go up because now you are paying four separate fire companies to cover what one fire company covered. The second largest district in this state. It's ridiculous. So as board members, you should go to the meeting and you will be held responsible because you are aware of what's going on.
What was the date of the meeting again?
Next September 16th, Tuesday, 6 p.m. the Poland High School. I'm not saying you guys are doing anything wrong. I just want to get this information out there because this is a dangerous situation for everybody, even people that don't live in the district, because they're going to lose their fire companies to the town of Ohio, and it's not going to be good for anybody.
What's being done to rectify or resolve the problem between
the fire company has reached out to the commissioners six times to meet and try to resolve this. The commissioners, with the exception of myself, are not speaking to anyone. No one. They won't answer questions at meetings. They won't pick up their phone and answer questions. They're not talking to anybody. They refuse to meet with the Poland Fire Company.
But is there any way on the state?
Oh, that's the board. There's seven of us. I'm one. The other six are, I won't say.
Is there any litigation or
way you can pursue that to like a state agency?
Pick up the phone and call me your state fire, see what they'll tell you. We can't do anything. But like, Attorney General, we can't do anything. We can't do anything.
There's going to be smoking and smelling right now.
Yeah.
We can't do a meeting about things.
That's really not professional, honestly.
All right, let's keep it down. Yeah, Karen, shut the door. Go ahead.
You know, not for nothing, but...
We're closing the door. Go ahead. Yes.
Based on what we've just heard, it's very apparent that we cannot afford another building with our fire situation as it is, with our firemen, with volunteer firemen. So this whole nonsense over there, putting children right next to a highway, needs to be postponed and revisited later when you can protect them with fire protection at least. You're not going to protect them from getting hit by a car. If everyone remembers, they changed Route 12 down the city, the West Utica line, Court Street there, because even with traffic lights, people were getting hit by cars. You're not going to stop people from crossing over. It's going to happen. And I just pray to God that you or none of you are the person that hits that poor person, because you have to live with that. That is not the space for 65 families. It's way too small, and children do not belong there. Seniors, perfect. Do that, but not this.
Everybody knows this project will cause an increase to everybody's taxes, traffic taxes, and airport, because there's more service going to this project, and money has to come out of somewhere. So it's
all right, well, let's get back on track. We're going to have a public hearing for this, so we can...
Can I ask, what is the purpose of the public hearing? All the questions that we've had tonight, are we going to have answers before this goes to a hearing? Or we're just going to a hearing to do what?
Pat, you can speak, because it's your public
basically
hearing.
Basically, just what you're doing now, asking questions, bringing information.
So where are the answers?
And not getting answers.
When do we get the answers to the questions?
The answers will come when we go through the rest of the process, the site plan review.
So then what's the purpose of the hearing?
To discuss the seeker. So there was a seeker done where all the different agencies have to look at all the information. So everything that we've got from Pathstone goes to these agencies, the DOT, the DEC, Soil and Water. Everybody has to review the SWIP, the Stormwater Prevention Protection Plan. All of that stuff gets submitted to all these agencies. Everybody has to review it and submit comments on what they have concerns on, or what they think is going to work or is not going to work. Then we have a public hearing to discuss everything that has been resulting from the seeker process. So that's what that is.
And then what's the next step after that?
The planning board reviews the site plan application on its merits, and we make a determination.
Yeah, I think that's... I don't want to interrupt you, but I think that's my concern, is that we're focused on the site plan, but a whole lot of other things are happening.
But site plan
matter
spells out exactly what the process is. We can't just make things up.
No, I understand that, but so, you know, you have a site plan.
And we take into consideration.
But there's fire issues, there's police issues.
And we've contacted the Deerfield Fire Department. They made their recommendations.
And they come and speak to us?
I can reach out to them.
So I think things...
But their recommendations were all regarding... adequate fire lanes, adequate water pressure, sprinklers, things like that. Those are the things we consider.
You can consider how many fire calls happen in a similar location. How many police calls
happen. We're asking questions? It's ridiculous? Come on!
It's in the planning board's hands, ma'am.
Right, when is it coming?
It's in the planning board's hands.
Planning board works for the people.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, you are.
Can I ask a question? So you announced when the public hearing is going to be. How is that going to be advertised?
We advertise in the Rome Sentinel for the legal offices, and then Karen and I have already talked about.
Please keep it down, please.
The schedule that we're going to put onto the friends and family page,
and the website,
and the website,
and the information boards that are out here.
Yeah, that's more effective than just the Rome Sentinel. Because the Rome Sentinel, that's your legal obligation, because that's
right.
The official.
Yes.
And just for clarity, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, the public comment is a legal obligation in the process.
Spelled out in the site plan.
Let's hope
that the people are listened to and their comments are taken into consideration. That's the big issue.
So after this public hearing, we have no say? Is that...
Well, that's a good question. What's after that?
Right. We, as a board, will review the comments, any comments from the interested agencies, and we do have a time frame we are, if you have to adhere to, it's 62 days.
62 days.
62 days. If we do not make a decision in 62 days, our decision will be that it is, the project is approved. If we fail to make a decision.
How is it weighed by the facts you get from the developers and public comment? Which carries more weight? I mean, if you have a whole population, 90% saying they don't want it, but the developer meets all the legal obligations and crosses all the T's and dots all their I's, and a few people think it's a good idea, what's the weight on that scale? How much weight does the public comment carry? Does anybody know the answer to that?
There isn't an answer to that.
There isn't an answer to that.
Probably no way at all.
So after the planning board, then it goes to you people here for a vote.
No.
You guys are the ones that decide?
Yeah.
It's the planning board.
Yes,
ma'am. So after that, it's done.
Article 13 in our zoning ordinance refers it to the town board.
Town board will then make a determination based on the recommendation of the planning board as to whether it's a go or not.
So it's their decision.
Yeah.
Eventually, after they get the recommendation from the planning board.
Do we ever find out a project similar in size to this, what their fire calls are, how many police calls there are, if the police and the fire department covering Deerfield can handle this situation?
Again, the best information I get, we reach out to the fire department. They've told us what we need to do from the physical perspective, and they've also said any calls will go through mutual aid for anything, any additional assistance. They haven't red flagged this or said, no, this is a no-go in our book. So we're only going by the best information that they give us. I reached out to the Dan County Sheriff's Office, and
they
you know,
can't handle
we,
what they have now. How
but,
are they going to handle
but,
this?
But again, you know, we've had opinion. When I reach out to the Sheriff's Office and speak to somebody in Sheriff Nation's office directly, their answer to me is, ma'am, we're obligated to provide coverage.
Hey, let's keep it down, please.
I understand the opinion, too much, too little coverage, too long response times. But again, when we get answers that from the official offices, from the fire chief, from the sheriff's office, and they say it's our obligation to provide coverage. That's what we have to know. That's the information that we're getting.
So I guess the new answer to me is that these 65 kids who have nowhere to play on the hope that SUNY will allow them to use their property, who are breaking into my house, and I can't get the sheriff to come because they got another call. I can just deal with it.
All right, let's wrap this back around. Yeah, Mr. Rozier, go ahead.
Let me ask Patty a question, if I may, please. This may be helpful. You know, there's no crystal ball in this stuff. We don't really know what's going to happen. The only way we do is to look at what has already happened.
Right.
Have we, in our fire company, our emergency responders, don't know because we don't have this stuff. As I said earlier, it's happening all over the country. It's just happening here. Have we surveyed other areas? I was just in Bozeman, Montana, and I surveyed people there, and they said since the stuff was built, they moved out because of gunfire at night, crime, thefts, all this stuff. This has been their experience. Would it behoove us somehow to survey areas where this has already happened? Other cities. Talk to somebody in the city council in Burlington, Vermont. See what their experiences are. That might be good, because our local responders
thing is,
may not know.
As the planning board, we are just here to function under the articles of the zoning ordinance. And if it isn't clear and spelled out in that ordinance, we really don't have.
If I provide you personally with some data, would you consider it? I'll bring it to the public comment?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, we have a responsibility to the people who live in the town also.
Let's move on. Mr. Rozier had a question.
Thank you,
sir.
I have gone through something similar a few years ago, and many of you will remember this. It was about them wanting to build a paving plan. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was another foregone conclusion. Why don't I hate the planning departments, even though their hearts are in the right place? Is it sometimes it's a foregone conclusion? Any data that you provide will not change tonight. They've decided that this is the right thing to do. I'm a resident for 40 plus years in Deerfield. Built many businesses in Log Valley without any funds or federal funds or state funds. It was done the old fashioned way. Many people listen to my radio station talk to the town because it's one of the few media where you can get a fair shake and some honesty in front. What I'm going to say to you all is this. You don't see a paving plant in North Utica because we organize well enough to make sure that our elected officials understood that if they vote yes for this, that was their last term. It's that simple. Now, we have people that are running for office this year. Going back to your comment, where the last part of where you get input is, it's at the ballot box. And so, coincidentally, the planning departments, the decision is always made about a week or two after elections. That gives everybody plenty of time to cover, get through the election without making the decision. People on this board need to make a decision prior to election time, especially because a couple are running for office. And that includes Mr. Fusco. They all need to tell us before
And Mr. Sacco as well. Please don't single out.
Yeah, Mr. Fusco can vote no tonight if he wants, if that'll make you happy.
It's not single out just the Republicans.
Please do yourself a favor and don't address me like you do other people. I'm not trying to put any words in anyone's mouth.
I don't appreciate that.
What I'm saying is that it is important as a resident, not even as the county Republican chair, as a resident who pays taxes for 40 years, I'm going to want to know from you folks, yes or no, prior to election. Not coincidentally, a week later, when we can maybe fool us and then turn around and get elected when we know you shouldn't have. This is a decision, a big decision.
You're right.
On a personal level, I will tell you, as someone who built businesses, I think it would be just as easy for the town of Deerfield to find something that improves property values by putting a business in it. We have commercial property. Why aren't we developing it with people like us who just want to pay their taxes, employ people? All right, why can't we approach it that way as opposed to waiting for the only person with their hand out, saying if we get enough money, enough tax credits, we can roll enough people in your town over, and we can stick this thing in there, even though it doesn't really appreciate property values, it'll be a big burden on infrastructure, and it absolutely doesn't increase taxes or tax base. This is a situation, like I said, accountability will be at the ballot box. Mm-hmm. You will be asked prior to the election, where you stand. And an I don't know, I'm still deciding answer is an answer that says you've already said yes. That's a fact. Most of Deerfield residents, when they get told this story about this whole project, are gonna expect you to do the right thing. And I think that, again, Phil, only because you directed this in, I believe that you'll do the right thing. Because I think you wanna be reelected, I think Dan does, and I think that the right thing to do is to slow this down without a preconception that it's a done deal for whatever reason, especially when the people who ought to be making the decision are the people themselves. And so with that, I would just remind everyone, whether you're a Democrat or blank, well, don't know what they are, but those are people affiliated with us, or Republican, who's my wife calling me now. The fact of the matter is that we have an obligation to get off our butts and vote. If you agree this is the right project, then vote for who says yes. But I'm warning, it's not a warning. I'm telling people, if you don't vote, then you can't sit and criticize. These folks are trying to do the best that they can for our town. I know that they are. I don't like the approach some of the news, but the point of the matter is, it is up to us. If we don't like what they do, this whole process, then change what's going on. But I'll tell you, as a taxpayer, I will not accept planning board coming in November 15th or so, or December 15th, maybe, with a decision that we should know prior to election to know that the people that were elected did the right thing. With that, I'm not looking for a response.
I would say,
yes, yes, yes.
You've referenced the project, and you knew a couple times that was negated, or however you want to say that. Do you know if that project was originally a permitted use in that district?
As a matter of fact, they do, because I was brought to speed. I met with Racine, the people on the taxes. I met with the mayor in the same meeting with them. And the problem was is that in quotes, from his mouth to the mayor, because I own the property next door with Breezes, and I wouldn't go for a concrete plant. My thing was, they said, we made a deal with you. That's what worries me about this. I stood there and heard people say to the mayor, we made a deal with you. And then I had to say, but I don't make deals. That's why people came to a meeting just like this, just like this. I mean, there was 400 of us. And all of a sudden, the common council realized, you know what? I might have my ass voted off. And you know what they did? They said, no, we're just not going to do it.
I'm sorry if my question wasn't clear.
Hey, Patty. Patty, can you and Ken just, can you guys speak outside of this? Because we have official business that we have to take care of.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Anyone else for late burgers? Yes. Yes, sir.
Steve Kingsley?
Yes.
Yes, I got two parts. One, first goes back to the fire department. You mentioned a letter or an email from the chief of Deerfield.
Yes.
Is there any way to, after some clarification, I understand, to publish that somewhere or make that available, that certain roads are covered that you mentioned?
Yeah, after hearing from the Poland representatives, I'm gonna reach out to Jim again and get more. We need to get the facts, so.
Yeah. Just forward the email and I'll put it on the site like I have the other emails.
Yeah.
Once it's all settled, you can have something in writing.
Yep.
And then the other thought to consider with all this, we need more fire department for this other project. And we're giving Poland $47,000 a year. Would that be beneficial to give it to the Deerfield Fire Department so that we can extend our services in our town and cover all of our people? I know $40,000 doesn't go super far, but would that add some? Just a thought.
Yep.
Okay.
So can I answer that question for you?
No. It's a thought I'm giving to the board.
I'll talk to Jim Maxwell and go forward from there. Thank you.
So that's a good question he has.
Yes.
You have to also worry about your ISO rating from your distance from your firehouse to your home.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else late privilege?
I got one.
Oh, yes, sir. Two. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
This is a later note. And I, with the approval of the board, there was a note years ago that I would like to have updated. I've added some information. And it's regarding ATV and dirt bikes. The previous memo mentioned, it's a continued reminder that motorized vehicles or electrical vehicles, four-wheelers and dirt bikes are not allowed on town roads, property, or trails. As you are well aware, there are local laws and state laws prohibiting this activity. I have modified this a little bit. Well, let me give you a copy. If you're caught on the roads, property, and trails with a motorized vehicle, the town will pursue legal remedies. The main part that I added is the New York State Vehicle and Traffic Laws, which says no person shall operate an ATV on a highway, public property, or private property without that owner's permission. So if you're on your own property, you're fine. ATV is defined as a self-propelled vehicle with two or more wheels, primarily for off-highway or off-road competition. And then another part that I added, which you're seeing more and more of, which there's been a bunch of them lately, e-bikes.
Yeah.
So they fall in a whole other classification. There's a bunch of classifications, but basically, I reference the laws, ATVs include e-bikes with throttles, or without pedals, or is capable of speeds more than 20 miles per hour. There's a whole bunch of other things, but these are the main parts. If it's an e-bike that goes more than 20 miles an hour, it's considered a dirt bike, which is an 18 miles.
Would you mind submitting that? Because I'll make sure I update that.
If you like the copy. Yeah.
I'll update it for the next.
Is that what you sent to me?
Yes.
All right, so I have it.
I did a little more grammar on this
one. Oh, okay.
If you want a copy,
I'll add this.
Okay. I
I can put it in the parks, but I can also put it on the farm.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I guess,
we can talk about it.
We got one for Dan.
Anything else, Mr. Kingston?
That's all I
have. All right, thank
you very much. I appreciate
late privilege. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
So it's kind of to pick up where he just, this gentleman just left off, John Seale, sorry. Yeah. We don't see sheriffs up here. I don't know why we don't see sheriffs up here. I'm sad to hear about the fire department, but anyway, we'd love maybe representatives from the county sheriff department that could come and answer questions, why they're not here now, what would happen if this building goes through. It would be nice to have somebody who can actually make a decision, because I was told even with the sheriff when he was here doing the other investigation for the incident at the park. I mean, you guys, I don't know if anyone here really sees what goes on up and down this road here. Constantly ATVs, SUVs, dirt bikes. I've sent you guys pictures to prove it. And it's, again, that's only one incident. It's on a regular basis, and I see it.
Yeah.
I see cars down there.
Well, after pulled out of the driveway tonight.
Yeah.
There was four wheelers in the
they were
dirt bikes.
Yeah, when I was walking across, they were in the back here. There's no ramifications for their decision, and they just don't care. The sheriff said that, well, we can find them, but we can't chase them if they go in the woods. Okay, what's the solution?
Just to answer the one question about, you kind of referenced the Pathstone project. When I spoke with the sheriff's department early on in the process, I asked them, would you need to be included as an interested party when we send out our final, the completed application for your comment? And they said no.
But they can do it, but I'd like to ask them, and maybe I should make a phone call.
Yeah.
How well can you do that? Because you're not there now.
Yeah, so I mean, just in reference to the Pathstone project, they declined my ask as far as, do you want us to send you the informational package? And they said, no, we don't need that because it's our obligation to go.
But that's not an answer.
It's I can't come from now.
Anything else, Mr. Aceto? Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else for late privilege? Laura. Oh, I'm sorry. You were first, ma'am.
Okay. Craig, so the bottom line is, where are we now with the fire department in Deerfield? If any, God forbid, if anything happens in the north end.
Right. I was told that we were covered, and according to them, under the municipal
mutual aid.
So what's happening is the fire departments are sending off tool tones. They're bypassing Poland.
Right. So what I'll reach out to Mr. Griffith and Deerfield Fire Department. I'll speak to him and see where we're at after talking at this meeting, and I'll make sure that I attend the meeting in Poland at the school. And we'll voice our concerns. I only have the information that I'm getting from you guys and from the fire department. So,
can I say something?
I'd like to continue moving. We can speak afterwards.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? Laura, yes.
I just wanted to make a comment that we have our zoning ordinance that the planning board and the zoning board go by. These rules and laws are set up by New York State town law that covers municipalities. It's not, so most of the guidelines we have to go through for whether it's subdivisions, any project or variances, we have to go by those guidelines, the time restrictions we have to make our decisions. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to, there's no executive session, so motion to pay bills. Any motion we pay general fund bills 272 through 302?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Please keep it down. We're not done yet. Thank you. We need a motion to approve highway bills 158 through 172.
A motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Need a motion to pay sewer bill number 8.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
No, we should keep going.
I'll make that motion.
All right. No, I think Dave already did.
Oh, you did? I'll second that, Dave.
Okay.